1928. A young Chicago jazz musician named Thomas Dorsey is sitting at a piano. He's recently decided to follow after Jesus with his life. But the music he's used to playing, the blues, doesn't sound like the music that's being sung in the churches. So he tries something new. He starts combining African-American hymns that he knows and loves with the jazz progressions that fit his fingers. He improvises. A few years later, his wife passes away while giving birth to a son. And then, a day later, the child dies as well. The two are buried together in the same casket, and in the midst of his grief, Thomas Dorsey pens the hymn, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." The song would later be recorded by Elvis Presley, by Mahalia Jackson, by Roy Rogers, by B.B. King, by Johnny Cash, and on the night before Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, while at a rally in Memphis, the people were singing, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." But by the time Thomas Dorsey passes away in 1993, it was clear that he had done more than just write a few famous songs. Instead, he had gone one step further. He had created an entirely new genre, a style that became known as black gospel music. My name is Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast, where I get to talk to artists, speakers, and culture makers who have focused their lives on the fame of Jesus. Today, I'm talking to Travis Green, who is both an award-winning gospel music artist and the pastor of Forward City Church in Columbia, South Carolina. Much like Thomas Dorsey, Travis Green is looking to the future of gospel music in the church and in the world.
I'm still alive from Dorian Gray. We gotta become HD. You know, I think we're still kind of the church. We still represent kind of this black and white thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the generation, you know, this generation has so far moved beyond that.
Yeah.
It's high definition. And I think that's the future. I think it's moments like this when I'm hanging out with Jason. I think it's moments with me recording songs with passion. I think it's tours where we're collaborating efforts and laying our preferences down for the sake of a greater cause. I think that's the future, man. It is really us putting down our private flags and waving, you know, passion, our white flag in unity. And I think that's really the only way. That's the only way we're going to reach a broader spectrum. I mean, you look at other genres, they're doing it. You know, Georgia Florida Line, you know, one of their biggest hits have a hip hop beat in the back of it. You know, it's like, whoa, like that's country, but I like it, you know? And so, you know, I think other genres are getting hip to it. You're seeing a lot of merge with country, hip hop, you know, just kind of all around pop, or it's all just kind of, now it's just music, kind of breaking the genre walls. And I think, we have to do the same thing on our side, where it's just about good music. It's about having fun.
Yeah,
and people want that, and I think they're down for it.
I've seen this even in like where you've chosen to perform.
Yeah,
like you're breaking down some walls and you're breaking down barriers by not just performing in churches.
Oh man, we're doing bars and clubs and theaters.
Are you getting pushback about that?
You know, there hasn't really been any pushback. I think people who come and even who brought the kids is like, wow, it's actually refreshing, you know? Times have just changed, man. Our kids are way more exposed than we think they are. You know, when we were growing up, Jason, you know, it was like, to see someone kiss on TV, it was like, ooh, you know. It was like, their lips touch them, you know. Now it's like, man, hey, that's G-rated, you know. That's happening on Disney. So it's like, I just think, you know, we have to be willing to go beyond even our own comforts, and myself included. You know, it's way more comfortable. I'm a church kid. It's really all I know. So way more comfortable for me to just be in church. But I think in order for us to win more, we have to go to where they are.
When we come back, Travis Green explains what it's like to fall out of a building in Germany. This is the Passion Podcast. Stay with us.
Hey everybody, it's Melody Malone from Passion, and I'm here to tell you all about Passion Camp. It's a week-long summer camp in Daytona Beach, Florida. It's for you middle school and high school students and their leaders. We've got high-energy squad wars, powerful worship, compelling teaching, community groups, and plenty of time on the beach. It's going to be one of the best weeks of the summer, and I can't wait to see you there. All the dates and details are at 268generation.com.
So right now, as we're recording this in the fall of 2018, you're about to head out on the road with Passion,
yeah,
with Louis Giglio, with Levi Lusco,
yeah,
numerous cities around the country for the Passion Worship Nights tour, which is awesome. But tell me this, what was your first run-in with Passion?
This is a funny story. I was working at a church in Charlotte. So we brought in this artist you may or may not have heard of named David Crowder. And so he comes and does a show there. And Shelly Giglio is with him.
Okay.
And this is 2012.
Okay.
So they come. I know who Crowder is, you know. No idea who Shelly is. Not even the slightest. Never seen her before a day in my life. No idea. I've read the name in a bio. Mm-hmm. So I knew the name Giglio. But I didn't know she was, you know. So I'm on staff, you know, riding skateboards around, just acting the nut, you know, typical worship leader, you know, just really a goofball, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm just hanging out, just having a good time, cracking jokes. She's in our green room area. I'm just being, you know, just being me. Hey, girl, what you doing? You all right? You want something to drink? Just all of that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't till after, like, I think right before the show, like, somebody was like, do you know who that is, right? I was like, no, she's hanging, she's with Crowder,
yeah,
she's just hanging. It was like, Shelly Giglio. I was like, oh my. Immediately I knew, I was like, oh, like, I'm an idiot, oh God. So I went to her and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I had no clue who you were. I'm sorry for being so loud and stuff. And she told me, she said it was refreshing for someone to just be the real them around me. And she said, she loved, she was like, just hang with me. She's like, you want to see the tour bus? So she took me on Crowder's tour bus, showed me around. You know, I'm just a worship leader in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she just loved and embraced and was really excited that I was just true to who I was and didn't try to become anything to cater to her. And so advice to anyone, you know, be who you are, you know,
yeah,
be who you are. God anoints.
That's great.
Authentic.
Yeah.
And there's space for it. And so just be true to who God's created you to be. You'll be surprised what doors open up for you. What started for me as just a tour of a tour bus, now I'm actually going to be on a tour bus with Passion. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So to that point of being authentic, being comfortable in who you are, you're a songwriter, a recording artist, a pastor, a culture maker. You're translating what you've experienced in your life,
yeah,
and in your faith into so many different mediums that can reach people.
Yeah.
So back up a little bit and tell me, what was your life like growing up that led you to dive into all of these different things?
Yeah. I mean, we start with my birth. You know, I was born, stillborn, wasn't breathing at all. Mother says that I was purple, and the doctors took me into the other room immediately and started just trying to get me to respond. My mother and father prayed for me on the spot.
Wow.
Fast forward 4 years, we're living in Germany. I fell asleep on a window sill.
Wait, why are you living in Germany?
I'm German, you can't tell. my father's Air Force.
Okay.
So I was we're out playing and I fell asleep close to a window and end up falling out of the window, four floors.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and so doctors came, pronounced me dead on the spot. They covered me with a white sheet and pronounced me dead. And my mother came and picked up my body, and she just started praying. She called on the name of Jesus twice, and then she just was praying the blood of Jesus, the
yeah,
blood of Jesus. And then God, he gave me back my life, and they kept me in the hospital for 3 days, just running tests, trying to figure out what was what. trying to make sure I had all my marbles tight. I think a few of them were still loose, but they let me go anyway. My mother, we're in the car leaving the hospital in Germany, and I told her, I said, I need to tell you what happened to me. And I told her, I remember falling out of the window, but I never hit the ground. Hmm. I told her, when I was falling, I didn't hit the ground, but I fell into this hand. There was a man with a big hand, and I fell into this hand, and I couldn't see a face because it was bright, but I heard a voice, and it said, do you want to go home with your mom or come with me? And I said, I want my mom. He said, okay, this time you can go with her, next time you come with me. And I looked up and I said, wait, what is your name, sir? He said, my name is Jesus. So that's when I was 4 years old. And I mean, it's been miracle after miracle after miracle. You know, even my son, my wife's water broke halfway through her pregnancy at 21 weeks. And we just prayed for God to make a way. I wrote a song while we were in hospital fighting for his life. And they kept her on bed rest for 2 months in the hospital. Then when he was born, they put him in the NICU for 2 months as well. He was born 2 pounds. So he was really, really small, the size of our hand. And now he's 4 years old.
Wow.
Perfect health. No signs at all of
That's
prematurity.
Great.
And so, I mean, all of these miracles, and I mean, I can go on and on, have played a major part in my life, in my music, in my faith. You know, I think once you've seen certain things, it's no more of like guessing if God is real. I've been exempt from the I'm kind of like Thomas, you know, guys, like, bless those who haven't seen. Little guy, you've seen. And so, you know, for me, it definitely breeds a humongous responsibility, but at the same time, it gives me a knowing, a deep knowing in my heart. And so that comes out. And I think for me, it's persuading others of the truth that I've come to realize. And that's what I try to do through music and through work.
If you want to hear the latest of what Travis Green is putting out through music and through the word, make sure to check out travisgreen.net. Passion exists to see a generation leverage their lives for what matters most. Today's episode of the Passion Podcast was produced by myself with special help from Rachel Baldwin. If you want to know more about the latest tours and music from Passion, be sure to check out passionmusic.com. And if you're a fan of this podcast, you can help us get the word out by subscribing to this podcast or snapping a screenshot and then just post it online for others to see. And as always, thanks for listening to the Passion Podcast.